Here we are on another Natter That Matters, because of course all conversations count, and especially when we're talking to people about how they have built their business. Because if you're listening or watching to this, you will want to know how. You'll want to know how you've gone from ah to ooh to yay. So I've got the lovely Emma Sydney here with me today. Hi, Emma.
Hello.
Welcome to Natter That Matters. Why don't you introduce yourself? You can do a much better job of that than I can, I feel quite sure. And your business.
So I'm Emma Sydney. I'm a business designer. I specialize in email marketing and funnels, but in a way that if you're going, oh, or you're going, oh, it's all transactional, that's actually about the person, that's about nurturing. I'm sure we'll get into that. And although I use that language because that's the language that's out of there, I'm looking at how we can change the language around it. And you know, so for example, funnels I call transformational pathways, which some people go, ooh, some people go, what? And for me, it is about growing a business in a way that doesn't burn you out. And yeah, that's kind of me, really.
Good. Yeah, the word funnel makes everybody go, ah, even people that know what funnels are, because it's just like being funnel. It feels horrible, doesn't it? The word like being funneled. None of us want that. We want to be expansive and free.
Well, exactly. And I did put a post out on Facebook the other day saying, what do you think of a funnel? What's your perception? And it was quite interesting because, like, in my groups that I'm in, which are very much my people, they were going, oh, I'm not sure about it. And then, you know, and then, because I've got people who are in that world, they were going, it's this, it's your sales process, it's all of this kind of stuff. And I was like, well, that's kind of where I want to change, because it's not about that for me. It's about nurturing and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's quite interesting.
Cool things, nurture sequences. I've called it seduction process, you know, seducing people and bringing them, or attraction. I call it more in what I do. I call it more attraction. So we're just attracting people to the next part. Let's come this way.
Ultimately, really, it's your customer journey. It's the way that you'll take it. And I don't think it's it for me, which is why I like the email marketing side, and I'm really kind of passionate about that. It's also about how you continue to nurture them and how you continue to talk to them and engage them and all of that kind of stuff. So it's not just a transaction. It's not just like they've bought from me, ka-ching. It's like, okay, so how can I really help and add value? And it's, for me, a lot of it is combining the income with impact. So it's not, it is about making a difference, and it's also about getting the income. And I think we need to have that conversation about both. Because some will go, it's about making a difference. That's what I'm really passionate about. The money doesn't matter. Others will go, the money matters for everything, blah, blah, blah. And for me, it's about getting the right combination of both for that individual. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, money matters always. This thing is, it shouldn't be the most important thing, really, I think. Although I think it, if you haven't got any, it becomes the most important thing. But actually, the money matters because, and I watch this with business owners that I coach across the whole of their business, if they're not charging their worth, they start to feel a bit worthless. Bit downtrodden, a bit like they're not being valued, not being appreciated. And that's really a never a good situation or a symptom of your business. It should always be the right price for the right service and what, you know, feels right for everybody. Interestingly enough, I was at an event yesterday and there was a guy there who was an email marketer, and he said, what makes you open an email? He was quite posh, actually. What makes you open an email? And I said, if it's funny. Like, that's one other thing. If it's funny, I mean, the people's lists, and I ignore quite a lot of them, I'm not going to lie, but the ones that are a bit funny and I can really identify with, typically if they're aligning with stuff that's on the TV, like I'm a big Strictly fan and X Factor and The Voice, I like all that sort of stuff. So when they start to really identify with what they do and tell stories, and I'm sure that's part of what you talk about, but it's I think the reason a lot of people don't do it is it's hard to put into a sequence, because of course it's time sensitive, isn't it? So you can't do one about who's won X Factor, let's say, because of course that's no longer viable in a couple of weeks time. We've all forgotten about X Factor. So what are your top tips, Emma? What are your top tips for making it personal? Because that's the bit I really heard from you when you started to talk about what you do.
So, well, really, for me, it's the two elements. It's the making sure it fits with what your heart and soul is and what your goals are, alongside really understanding who your audience is. Because like you say, and also getting over your ego a bit, because one of the things I often hear is that I really like the idea. I know email marketing is really good for me. I know like doing all this stuff, it will really help my business, but I don't open emails. And like you've just said, you open emails that are that resonate with you in a certain way. And that's the key, is understanding what's going to resonate with your audience and having play with it and testing it out and all of that kind of stuff. Because at the end of the day, I can't remember what the statistics are because I have a toddler and my poor brain goes kind of like, bleh. But there is still like, I always say, because this is easier for me, if you've got 1,000 people on your list, and again, I'm brilliant at really complicated maths and big things, but not so good at basic maths. Yeah, my background's internal auditing, and I used to be able to do really complicated performance like review information, but then would get me to do a percentage, and I'm like, I just can't do a percentage. But anyway, so if you've got 1,000 people on your list and your open rate is 40%, not wanting to turn people off, that's 400 people that are still opening your email. And if you think about, and social media is great, and I'm a big believer in how you can cross-link between the two, and that makes it more personal, how you can get people to engage across both. So not just, so in your emails, for example, saying I'm having this conversation on LinkedIn or Instagram and get them to come back onto it. But so, you know, but on social media, if you know, you're not necessarily going to get 400 people in one go looking at what you're saying. And it's back to, although you may not read emails, that doesn't mean your audience doesn't read emails. So these are the tips, really. You've got to get over your own ego on this.
Yeah, it is. That fear of pressing send is real. Honestly, I remember it the first time I sent an email. Well, I mean, it was a long time ago, my first ever business. Emails weren't really a big thing then either. They were like, so, and they, well, we didn't have systems like we have. So I had to copy and paste it or type the email addresses in and do it all as, you know, blind copy became my best friend. And, you know, I just remember sending that first email, terrified of what was going to happen. Like whether they were, I don't know. I mean, you couldn't be even unsubscribed then, could you? I suppose you'd be blocked. But yeah, it's a real, the fear is real. Yeah, that ego thing is a big deal. And I wonder what people are scared of though. What do you think they're scared of? I've got my own thoughts
I
as
think
well.
some of it might be that there's because they're so, and I don't necessarily think it's people like us. I think it's a lot of the bigger companies will spam you, will send loads of emails, and that turns you off. So again, you think that's going to turn your audience off. But again, like one of the other common questions I get is how often to send my email. And I always say, well, start with how often can you send your email? So if you're busy, you're better off sending one a month or one a quarter than one a week and not achieving it. So you know, but like for example, I was chatting about this with somebody on Facebook the other day, and they were saying, I just don't want to be spammed, and I don't, you know, and all of this kind of stuff. And I was like, well, I went and signed up to one of the retailers. They sent me four emails in one day, and I was like, I'm unsubscribing, but we're not them. You can choose to do it in a way that resonates with your audience, that fits with what you can do.
Also, if that retailer, I'm just thinking of some of my own fetishes, i.e. Ted Baker, if they sent me four emails that were pertinent to me, I'd be really happy. I.e. if I've been following around their site and I'd watched some luggage, you can see my buying habits, some shoes, maybe, you know, whatever, and they sent me a reminder of that with a discount, or have you looked at this? I would want those four emails so that, you know, when I get asked this question, I'm like, well, have you got anything interesting to say? If you can speak about stuff that's really interesting and really going to give back, or, you know, is really needed by your audience, then you can email them twice a day. But if you really haven't, that's the thing, isn't it? If the content's shit, it's the same with anything, social media.
And it's back to your audience. And really, it all comes back to really understanding your audience. And then over time, developing it. So becoming more personal, because there's a lot you can do, but I think people get very like scared by the tech side and by all of that. And one of the things I continually come back to in everything I talk about is you start with where you are today, and then you can build on that as you become more familiar. It's like I equate it to, you know, when you go somewhere for the first time and it seems, say you go for a walk to somewhere you've never been, and it seems to take hours because you've never been there before. But then when you turn around and you go back the other way, or you do it again, all of a sudden it's like, oh, this only takes 10 minutes. It doesn't seem that long. And I think, and that's just the way our brains work. Our brains work, you know, we need to have experienced it first. And that's the same with all the tech and all of that kind of stuff. You develop it and you learn it, or you get someone else to do it, or, you know, all of that kind of stuff. It does take time, and it takes evolution. So don't get too complicated straight away, but there is a lot you can do. As you, it's
Brain
a
automation.
space you can evolve.
Yeah, the brain automates like an automation system would. It really, really does. So yeah, and we kind of flex that muscle, the neural pathways get developed with things that, you know, I think about
Absolutely.
even things like I go to aqua aerobics, and the first few times I went, I didn't know how to get changed. I didn't know, it was all like, now it's like I don't even think about it. I'm on all complete autopilot. I was thinking, because I knew we were having this natter that matters, in the bath this morning, I was thinking, would I rather, these are the coaching questions I ask myself, bless me, would I rather have 4,000 people on a list and I didn't really know who they were, but there was, you know, there's a volume. Would I rather have 100 on a list and I knew exactly who they were? And I went through this whole little maze in my head, and it comes back to, and I'm quite ashamed, although nobody knew any different. Back in the mid 2000s, I remember downloading and exporting my whole LinkedIn contact list. I had a recruitment agency, so, and putting that into some system back in the day, probably doesn't even exist now. And I remember thinking, I don't know what to send them. And that was, for me, that freezing thing is because, well, I didn't know who they were, didn't know if they were interested. So I think if people have just got a list of blur, they're going to send blur because they don't know. And this comes right down to the focus and the content that is leading people to what you do, isn't it? That, so that for me was like, oh no, I'd rather have 400 definitely that were really, really engaged. And then I went through the whole another process. I'm going, well, I've got a Facebook group of 1600 people, 1700 people that are actually probably as much as probably need that as well. But we seem to be obsessed with getting new people, don't we? The whole, like, I watch people, how I build my audience, how I get more people. And I feel like saying, well, you've got 500 over there, you're not serving at all. Like, forget new ones. Find out how to serve the existing ones, and understand what they need, so that when you bring new people in, they're going to want to do stuff as well. And I'm assuming that's the kind of stuff that you help people with as well.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that really started to sort of hit home for me was the nurturing piece. Yes, this says they're bringing people on board, but it's about how it's not just like putting them on this list because it's great, I've got this list.
Great.
And it's like one of the things that, like you say with your Facebook group, you can ask for an email with your Facebook group, but you can add them to a like I've got a Facebook group list.
Yes.
So then I know, and it's like I can go and I can email them and go. And I do it to the rest of them, but it's with a different kind of emphasis. So you can repeat what you're doing, but you just do it with a little bit more of, you're saying about a personalized touch. You acknowledge, you're in my group
Yes.
already. So you can go, this is what's going on in our group this week. Have you done this? Have you engaged with this or whatever? So you can nurture them more personally. And again, it's like I was saying earlier, it's about how you, sorry, the dog's barking, how you can kind of then cross your social media with your email as well and continue that conversation and that relationship.
I love that. My list will be like, oh, they've had an email saying, oh, you know, I talked about this in the Facebook group. Why didn't you hop on over? They'll be like, they know that I'll have got it from you, Emma. That's a great idea. In fact, I don't even think I've got that as a tag. I haven't got any reference of that actually. They just get added, you know, by my team into the list and welcomed and go through a welcome sequence, of which actually part of that welcome sequence is, do you want to join the Facebook group? So that must look a bit shit actually, thinking about it. It got me into a whole nother pathway now. Thank you very much. I feel like,
Sorry,
yeah.
I keep doing this to people. It's like I'm like to people, and this is a, that's that I'm going to just point out. This is when you're getting to that sort of next phase of really wanting to develop your email list and what you do with it and make it more personalized and do this sort of journey a bit more specialist, if you like. But yes, that is something to consider. And like I've got a membership that I've not long created, and one of the things within that I've done is how you set up your Facebook group. And for a lot of people, they've already got their group and all of that. But if you can do it from the beginning and kind of have that pathway, then that's brilliant because then you're already starting to sort of create that personalized journey with what you're doing. And it's a really simple thing to do.
Email sequences is just a whole nother ball game. Automations and on it, triggers and rules. Honestly, I let myself free on my own list. So one of my VAs went on maternity leave, and I thought, it's all right, I can do this. I've learned enough from her. No, honestly, right? If you're listening to this, do not try and do it. If you've got a good list and you've been in business for quite a long time, you can mess it up with just one command. And so I did it so that it triggered the list with, if somebody bought something, it added them. But then so every time someone buys something, it adds them again. And I didn't even know that you could send the same sequence twice. Of
Oh,
course, I've
yeah.
got like email five is going out and email one. I'm like, oh my God, I had quite a few unsubscribes from that. You know, you have to be big enough and ugly enough to put your hands up and go, oh my God, I really messed that up. You know, I'm pretty good at most things, but I'm not an expert, certainly not an expert in email sequences. So Thanks for that hack. That was a really lovely one, Emma. So what's for you? So how did you get to this? So did you, you've always been an expert in these sort of things? How did you get there?
No, so going back a while, I well, not a while now, but sort of a while, I suppose. My background was working as an internal auditor in corporate world. So very much I've always, so like you name it in business, I've kind of done it, but on a big scale. Like I say, I'm very good on, so like GDPR, I've audited, I say an auditor, not an accountant, I'd like to highlight. Just someone who goes in and looks at like whether projects are run well, whether people are complying with legal stuff, all different kinds of things. And I love that variety. And variety is really important and learning is really important to me. But I kind of got fed up with all the corporate world. I'd lost a lot of weight. I'd gone through a massive personal journey from being depressed, anxious, overweight in my early 20s. So I went on this massive sort of spiritual personal journey. I did loads of workshops in face reading and all sorts of things, EFT, everything you name it, I've kind of done it. And I decided that I was going to train in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. I'm sure you, yeah. I know that's a thing. I know. So I trained as a master practitioner in NLP, timeline therapy, all of that kind of stuff, and nutrition, and set up as a what I call now a nutritional life coach. But I did, although I'd done all that business stuff, it was difficult to apply it, and I didn't really. And I did do it, and I also was working part time, so I've got really into courses and the tech, and I've always been able to do the tech. I'm very multi-passionate and multi-layered, and I can do quite a lot of different things, so I can combine the tech with the person. And that's what made me a good internal auditor as well, was combining the kind of transactional stuff with acknowledging that there are people at the end of the day. And that's what made me good at it. In terms, not good at report writing, I was rubbish at report writing, which they never liked. Because I have too much of my own voice and I couldn't really blend. So I moved to Devon about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, as part of my own personal kind of journey, and fell out of love with the sort of nutritional stuff and looked at how I could bring more of my sort of internal auditing, the bits that I liked, and kind of combine it. And I've sort of been working through that over the last few years. Had my daughter, she was a pandemic baby. Born in the final lockdown in February 2021. And so, yeah, so things have just evolved and kind of come together in terms of like what I love doing, and what I'm good at, which is some of the things I also teach, like around some of the sort of stuff like that. And then how I can help people and acknowledge the fact that I have multi-layers to what I can do and what I offer and how I can bring it all together. So, yeah, that's kind of my journey and celebrating it.
Yeah, well done. Multi-layers, love that. Because often when you've got multi-layers, it's trying to ha work out what. Because when you can do everything, it's really tricky. For me, it's always been a struggle and a challenge. It still is a bit. I'm like, oh yeah, I could do that, and I'm ADHD, and I could do this over there. Oh, look at that, that's so lovely. But hang on, Vivian, come back. I really have to train my brain to be different. So well done for finding the thing, if you like, to be able to move forward. So how do people work with you? What? How are you? Programs or one-to-one? What's the process?
So I have a small group program called I've forgotten what it's called because I've got no brain. This is my problem, you see. Isn't he? I have, because I've got a toddler and she doesn't sleep. So like for 3 years, I forget words, I forget people's names. So yeah, I have a small group program that's runs a couple of times a year. And other than that, I've got an email marketing membership. Things have evolved quite a lot for me over the last few like 6 months or so. I have lots of different courses, and I'm about to bring out a business design membership and an account. I'm relaunching my academy, which is a one-stop shop for basically funnels and transformational pathways. So I've done a lot of stepping back and reevaluating over the last few months. Like you say, it's very difficult when you've got multi layers of how you bring it all together. I have done one-to-one in the past, but I'm much more keen on doing small group stuff now, because, and that does have a one-to-one element with it, but it's just yeah, just a much easier way for me to do it, and also I think a much more powerful way for people to engage with it, if that makes sense.
Well, I guess it makes it more affordable typically as well, doesn't it, than one to one. So I think that's
It
the
does make it more affordable, and at the moment I work about 15 hours a week as well. So, I'm quite restricted on my time. And even when, next year she's going to be in like childcare 4 days a week, it's still, so some of it, and this is one of the things, I sort of teach is about how you can create your business to fit in with your life and evolve it and all of that kind of stuff. But I have, so basically anybody who joins and pays, I have a Facebook group called the Sparkle Growth Lab, which is specifically for them. So that's their space with co-working and different options depending on what they've engaged with. So I host that in one space rather than having about 10 Facebook groups, because that's so much easier. And anybody who buys from me gets access to the co-working. And then I have a free Facebook group, which I'm nicely growing. But a bit like you, I'm about quality over quantity. Same with my email list, and all of that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, I reject so many people from my Facebook group. Like anybody, that they're in there for calls, they want to, spam it up. Just like, no, thanks, no, thanks, no, very. So, what's the future? You still in Devon?
Yes, living in
Hopefully,
Devon.
little girl will sleep before she goes to school because that'll be fun. If not, like, yeah, can't imagine. I just can't even imagine that, as I said. So, what's the plan then? Is there a plan, or are you just seeing what happens?
No, there is a plan. I mean, the plan definitely is to get into that rhythm of having my academy and my couple of memberships, and my small group program. And then when I have more space and capacity, the thing I'd really like to do, is start to work with larger companies again, not big corporates like I did before, but sort of small to medium sized companies, around those kind of subjects, which I really love that people struggle with. So like their business strategy and their GDPR compliance and all of that kind of stuff. So that's something I'm thinking of.
I mean, it's funny because you and I both focus on the smaller business startups right through. I mean, for me, I'm scaling probably up to about a quarter of a million for most of what I do. But there is definitely a market for it. The amount of companies I meet at networking events where they're bigger, I met one recently, had 4 million turnover, no email list. I'm like,
Yeah.
how is that even a thing? I know way back when I used to work with bigger companies rather than individuals, and I went and put into their company a CRM system, so I love all the techie stuff as well. I like starting things though. I'm a bit more of a creator. And we sent out three basic emails. They basically all the only time they ever emailed all their clients or their members actually was once a year because of the membership fee. I was like,
Yeah.
wow, like that's really quite rude when you think about it. So we
Yeah.
set this up. I think it took a couple of days, put everything into there, sent out three emails with some of the offers they had, and they made 27 grand. 27
Yeah.
grand. I was like, wow, like you don't even know how much money you're leaving on the table, because a lot of companies don't have marketeers, do they? They maybe
No.
have a bit of social media, or they have a bit of somebody doing a bit of this, but they're, or somebody, says, can you put a piece of PR in the local paper? But they don't normally have any kind of marketing strategy. Sometimes they've just built themselves to where they are almost by accident, referrals, etc.
Yeah.
So yeah, lots of work we're
And
doing there.
I very
Question.
much like troubleshooting. And sort of going, okay, so what's not working and what can we do better and get the stuff put in place. So I like that phase of it. So I am a bit of a starter rather than a finisher as well, but it's more the right, okay, so what's not working, what can we do differently and use that.
Yes.
So yeah, that's something I'm thinking of for the future, very much so.
Good for you. Who knew we were so alike, Emma? Who knew? Yes, very similar. Well, it sounds great. Good luck with it all. Obviously, if anybody's listening to this, watching this, and they need help with specifically that part of their business, go and have a chat with Emma. Sounds like she's got a free Facebook group where you can start off and get to know her, which and maybe go on a list and see how she does it. That's what I strongly suggest anyway. I think I'm going to see what she sends out. Yes, if you need any help with that, anything, Emma's the girl for you. And obviously, you know who I am. So if I can help you with any of your business building stuff, or your mindset, getting your mindset for business, you know where I am. Thank you very much for being here, Emma. And I will, of course, see you lots, I'm sure, around and about.